But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations from afar off. And they shall beat their swords in the plowshares, and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk, every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God, forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. The Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out loud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain, and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, Let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thy horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth.
Amen. Thank you, Raymond. Appreciate it. Well, as I say each week, I hope you have your Bible open. It's good to hear what the Lord has to say to us. I'm of the belief that all of the world desires what we are blessed to have. There's something that has been placed in our hearts. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that eternity has been placed in our hearts. And so as you and I watch culture, and I hope you do, I hope you're a student of it, you will see whispers of a desire for triumph, a desire for epic. And so I thought of something pastoral, a theme song to play for you. So enjoy this, and if you want to sing along, go right ahead. Sing it like you mean.
Just give me that countryside.
New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay. I just adore a penthouse view. Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
The chores.
They're chores.
Fresh air.
Time square.
You are my wife.
Goodbye, city life.
Green Acres, we are there.
This is my life. Remember, I grew up in Chicago, and then I pulled Kim into Warrington. All right, you are my wife. Goodbye, city life. But I'm so glad. I love where we live. I love the. And some of you, I know some of you, this is still too city for me. You know, but there is something in us that wants that kind of thing. You see it in the movie Field of Dreams. You see it in shows like, or movie, even these movies like Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones. There's this push toward kingdom and resolution and success and all that is tied to that. And I want to get your attention and say to you, we have this, and we have it as truth, that this will happen. That what I'm going to be talking about, just a segment of it this morning, is going to happen if you believe the Bible. The Bible cannot be relegated to just what we want it to say and for when we want it to say what we want it to say. And what I mean by that is some people hold on to this Jesus stuff for their salvation, but they don't want to come to grips with the reality of this judgment that Micah's been talking about, that there is going to be a future kingdom, that we can rest in that and look forward to that. You do know, because we're so blessed in America, I know we have difficult times, but we're so blessed in America, that there are times when we want to build a kingdom here. We almost feel like we're entitled to that. And I want to get your attention and say to you that on other sides of the world, these kinds of passages of Scripture really minister to their hearts because of how bad things are for them. And so we need to rest in that. That our future hope, and however life is playing out for you now, that you have an understanding that God is not lost. He didn't fall asleep at the wheel. He is very much aware, and He's moving in this timetable toward something. And Israel's glory is our glory. What we benefit from because of what the people of Israel were faithful to do, and many times unfaithful to do, and God being faithful. And so we come to this passage of Scripture here, and we see that right in the middle of this hard prophecy is hope. If you haven't been with us, we've been working through the minor prophets, thus the baseball jersey. We've been having a summer in the minors, and we've done Obadiah, we've done Jonah, and now we're doing Micah, and we're doing a chapter a week. And there's been hard judgment that has been talked about. And now in the midst of it, God is so gracious. He places hope to His people. We need it. We need to hear it. So I want to pray and then get into this together. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for what You're trying to teach us. And I ask You, God, that we'd get it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Take a look there. In Micah 4, so if you have your Bible open, take a look at Micah 4. And I want you to look at how similar this is to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. It shall come to pass in the latter days, this is Isaiah, that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us in His ways, and that we may walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Does it look familiar? It's carbon copy. Remember, they are they are ministering at the exact same time. And so you be, well, somebody's plagiarizing somebody. I'm saying God is consistent with His Word. And so it's a good message, so it needs to be shared. And so we come here, point number one, if you're taking notes, first point, the exaltation of the kingdom. Look at verse 1 again with me. It shall come to pass in the latter days, so now he's taking a step away from present times and he's going into the latter days, that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and the peoples shall flow to it. So we've got a reversal of chapter 3, verse 12. He's shifting from impending judgment to the prophecies of this future millennial kingdom, these latter days, in which Mount Zion, the center of Messiah's coming kingdom, shall be raised both spiritually and physically. This is going to be happening. This makes for a great movie. But it's really going to happen if we believe the Bible's true. Now, I want us to get to the point where you're like, He really is going to do this. Like Jonah was in a fish. Like Jesus came to earth. Like all of the miracles. This stuff is going to happen. And we're going to see it. We're going to be able to view this better than any movie. All right? So we've moved from judgment to hope. And we move to rest. But true rest, isn't it, as you get older, I don't know, some of you are like, you're so young. But as you get older, I'm telling you, there's something about rest. Like I used to, as a kid, I didn't want to take naps. Now, Kim, send me to my room. Just rest. And so we have to have an understanding that God says in His Word, we're only going to find true rest in Christ. People are going to pursue it. They're going to go after it. We all do. But I want you to know, I'm going to find my true rest in Christ. You are too, and so is this world. And that's why the gospel is what we need to share. We need to move from a man-centered or self-centered worldview to a God-centered one. And that's what will be happening during the kingdom. People will be thinking God's ways. Someday, this will be a reality. Point number two, the extent of the kingdom. Look at verse 2. And many nations shall come, not just Israel. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. I love that the songs had so much about Jacob and the truths of that. That he may teach us his ways. Who's going to teach? Jesus is going to teach. And that we may walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall come forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So people from throughout the earth, get this is really going to happen, not just Israel, they're going to come as a spontaneous flow to worship the Lord in Jerusalem during the millennial kingdom. And as they head this direction, they will not just want to be taught. Now this is huge. They're not just wanting to, hey, let's go hear that teacher. Because there's times where people go to conferences and they hear teachers all the time. They take in this information. Let's go hear this person. They're not just wanting to hear it. But look, they will want to do what they have been taught. There's a big difference. You know this is the case. There's been times where your doctor tells you to do something. And if you do it, it actually, things start going better. And people will go, well, what happened? Well, my doctor said to do this, and I did it, and it worked. Instead of throw a pill at me, or I don't want to do, I'll hear you, we'll get this thing over with. I've been through the waiting room, I've been through this, and I'll get out of here, and then later I got something to complain about again. All right. And he's saying, no, these people will go, they'll hear, and they'll do it. They want to obey. That's what the kingdom will look like. They will be lovers of truth, and they will be taught by the truth. Point number three, the excellence of the kingdom. Look at verse 3. He shall judge between many peoples and shall decide for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That verse from Isaiah, it's actually on the wall of the United Nations. That isn't working. Jesus is going to be king. And that's when it will work. And so these swords will be beat into plowshares. Because the Almighty One is ruling in Jerusalem with this rod of iron, Jesus is now in charge. And because of this unprecedented fruitfulness of the land, military hardware will no longer be needed. That's a sharp contrast to all the injustice that Micah has been battling for the first three chapters. He wants to give them hope. All this injustice that's going on, I want you to know, people will want justice in the kingdom. They will want peace, true peace. And in the kingdom, they're going to have both. And isn't that something we want? Isn't down deep we want peace? I've heard of kids growing up in rough situations. And they finally get into a home that they're in. And sometimes they just fall asleep because they feel safe finally. Verse 4, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. So under his vine and under his fig tree, this is once employed as a description of the peaceful era under Solomon. This phrase looks forward to greater peace and prosperity in the millennial kingdom. True prosperity will exist. Micah saw this, that people were being stolen from. The kingdom says that there's going to be true satisfaction found in the kingdom. So I'm saying to you today, I don't know what your life looks like right now. And you're like, man, it's just, I hate my life. I hate what's going on. And there are moments of that. There are times of that. There are seasons of that sometimes. I want to give you hope, brother and sister in Christ, that there is a king. And there is a kingdom that we will be able to rest in. And his name is Jesus. Do you know him today? Look at verse 5. For all the peoples walk, each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And so even if all others are walking after other gods at the present, later there will be people that will say, no, I want to walk with God. It's kind of these words from Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So let me ask you this morning, as you're here, so good to see all of you. But do you want to have some kingdom life now? Here's how it works. You get off the throne and you say, as for me and my house, we want to serve the Lord. And that affects every decision. And that's hard sometimes because we like our decisions. And I'm saying to you, would you be willing to say to the Lord today, God, I've been running things my way. It's time to hand it over to you because my way ain't working. Don't work. Keep going. The exiles, point number 4, the exiles of the kingdom. Verse 6, in that day, declares the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather those who have been driven away and those whom I have afflicted. Keep in mind the flow of Micah's message here. Yes, judgment is coming, declares the Lord, but restoration is certain when I reign from Jerusalem. God's saying, I've got to do what I'm going to do, Micah, but I want you to know, over that, there's hope if you rest in me. He's describing these wonderful conditions of coming into the kingdom, this earthly kingdom of the Messiah, and he puts things back together. Look at verse 7. And the lame I will make the remnant, and those who were cast off a strong nation, and the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time forth and forevermore. This term talking is not always talking about a thing of without end, but it signifies this long, indefinite period of time. And it's in this context, it's referring to that thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth. Look at verse 8. And you, O tower of the flock, we're talking about pastoral again, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, the former dominion shall come, kingship for the daughter of Jerusalem. So he's a shepherd, and the city is now becoming a safe place for the sheep. And all these references are to the city of Jerusalem. And when Micah mentions that former dominion, he's looking at it as the United Kingdom. By this time, the kingdom has been divided. North, Israel, South, Judah. Micah is looking back and going, we are completely united again. That we can rest in that. And I want you to look at that. He's talking about going to a city, and some of you are like, no. You said pastoral. You said heyday. You said barns. You said green acres. But I want you to know that as we move into the future, that there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and there's going to be a new Jerusalem. And heaven is tied to a city. And here's why it works. If the mayor in charge is in control, the city is fine. I want you to know that. All right. I come from Chicago. I am so frustrated by my home city. Well, why? What's going on? It's who's in charge. Someday, if my Bible's true, and I think it is, Jesus is the mayor. All right. Jesus is the king. And I can rest in that. That's my hope. That's how I get to be heavenly minded, and I will be the most earthly good when I'm heavenly minded. When I think this, what I'm going through right now is nothing compared to what He's going to give me someday, because He's good. I can rest in that. I can trust in Him, and that will carry me through the difficult times. Let's finish up here. Point number 5: the empire is before the kingdom. Verses 9 and 10. Now, why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in you? Has your counselor perished that pain seized you like a woman in labor? Writhe and groan, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor. For now you shall go out from the city and dwell in the open country. You shall go to Babylon. So he's moving now and telling them, here's what's going to happen. I've been talking to you about kingdom, but I want you to know Babylon is coming. And the enemy at this time, the enemy that they're scared of the most is Assyria. So he jumps right to Babylon. Why? Because he's prophesying to Judah. And if you remember, as we talked about this, people responded in Judah, people responded to Micah's prophecy. He said, you better get your act together. And Hezekiah, if you remember what happened with Hezekiah, Hezekiah goes, I don't know what to do. And the prophet said to him, go to God. And so he went to God. And God said to him, you need to repent, and your people need to repent. And out of that, Assyria took the northern kingdom, because those kings were horrible. But there was a revival in the southern kingdom. And for 100 years, God held back the enemies until Babylon. And so he's telling them, remember, 185,000 Assyrians were killed one night. It's a great story. We'll get there. What I'm saying to you is, we can rest in this. If we follow God, if we turn to Him, what He can do in our marriages, what He can do to our homes, what can He do with our relationship with our kids, what He can do with our relationship with our older kids. He wants to do it, and He can turn things. I can rest in that. And so much so that Judah would be taken captive to Babylon, but then a pagan king would allow them to return to Jerusalem to build their temple. Look at this, Ezra chapter 1. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, this is a pagan king. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kings of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. And let each survivor in whatever place he sojourns be assisted by the men of his place with silver and gold, with goods and with beasts, besides freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. This is a pagan king. What I'm saying to you is, and I'm trying to get your attention, I know you're like, quit waving your arms, we get it. That he can work in, God can work in
any situation. You can don't worry about the political party. He can move in people's hearts. He's above that. Do I care about politics? Of course. Do I want to be aware of it? Of course. But my hope cannot be in that. I've got to rest in God, in Christ alone. Let's wrap this up. Verse 11. Now many nations are assembled against you, saying, let her be defiled, and let her eyes gaze upon Zion. And they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand His plan, that He has gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, and I will make your hoofs bronze. You shall beat into pieces many peoples, and shall devote their gain to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of the whole earth. So he switches again to the time of the second advent. The gathering of many nations and many peoples depicts that future battle of Armageddon. In that day, the Lord is going to empower his people. Look at our hero, Revelation 14, as we're wrapping up. Revelation 14. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man with a golden crown on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the Lord earth is fully ripe. So he who sat in the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, the angel who has authority over the fire, and he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, put in your sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe. So the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for 1,600 stadia. I want to be on his side. He gives us warning because he's gracious. This is what God does. He gives us warning because he's gracious. And so today, he may be warning you about some things. Where are you at with him? Where are you at with his people? He's constantly calling us about it. That's a loving thing to do, calling us back. And so, and then we can always look to him and go, if he's my father and this is my hero, I can rest in that. And anything that comes my way, I can have an eternal perspective to know that he's the one I can rest in. He's the one that provides pure peace. And so a world that is looking at fantasy literature constantly, binging on Netflix shows that will give them some sort of escape, I'm saying to you, this is real. This is something that I can rest in, that I can look to, that I can trust in. This is what makes our hearts, when we're drawn to it, oh, that's why we're like that. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I ask you, God, to give us that kind of heart, that kind of mind, as we're looking into the Word, as we see glimpses of it, as we hear whispers of it in our culture, that we'd remember, oh, that's why people are drawn like that. You've placed eternity in their heart, and then we can give them truth. We can give them hope. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.